Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Church on this beautiful Sunday morning, the last Sunday in November. God has given us one more year as we come close to the end of the year. Every day is a gift from God, and let us be thankful for this time that God has given us, and I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving with your families. As we worship together, let us turn to God for His blessings. As we look forward to a coming year, let us pray that God will guide us in the future to be His faithful witnesses for Him in this community and around the world. Please join me on the announcements in the bulletin, the second page. Those are the regular announcements. If you can read through that, the food bank ministry continues. Please join that in cash or in kind. And the books are still available for sale. You can use it for very good gift items for Christmas time. And also, our cooking class and the art class will be determined as soon as we get the volunteers. Liliana, do you have an update from... Yeah, she's looking it up. The third Thursday luncheon will be on December 21st on 1 p.m. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship at the Golden Corral in Cumming. And the disaffiliation updates, we have to do a lot of stuff between now and the end of December. The updates, you can watch that on the updates on the UMC website if you want to. We have to go through the title change of the church. That's the biggest thing. We have to get an appointment with the conference, and we are trying to get an appointment soon. And also, we have to pay close to $10,000 for the disaffiliation process, which includes pensions and liabilities for pastors that we don't even know. We don't have any benefits or pensions, but we are to pay into the pension liabilities of other churches. Not only this year, but also we have to pay 1 year in advance so that we can disaffiliate. Anyway, we have the funds, and let us continue on that effort to that end. We will have our Thanksgiving lunch today after service. Please join. All of us are invited to join. Please note that and join. Our Christmas lunch will be on Sunday, December 24th, after service. And on that Sunday, we are planning to have a combined service for Christmas celebration with the Hispanic group. We'll have some good singing. Wayne and Chris and Raina are planning on working together to have some songs together here we can do on that Christmas Sunday on the 24th. The 24th is also the Christmas Eve. As a tradition, we usually have Christmas Eve service with a candle service. So we don't want to break that. So please come and join in the evening after the morning service at 5 o'clock, so we can have a few minutes together singing some songs and have a candle service on that evening. Please note that and be here. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in December, we'll start the Advent season. We'll have Holy Communion next Sunday. So as we start the Advent season, we like to have dressed up in colors if you can, and let's make it a time of celebration and worship in the Advent season next month. Lillian. Some of these things go mute once in a while. I don't know what's happening. You're still mute.
December 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you can confirm that later.
Yeah, so far it's good. Yeah.
Okay, so far it is good. Okay, so we'll have it on December 9, Saturday, again, for the cooking class on 10 a.m.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the church in these ministries. By your prayers, your presence, gifts, and service and witness, God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to continue to do what God has given us to do in this community to be a blessing. We accept our donations through our website now. Please make that facilities available because they are very convenient. Many of you are using it, and it will also give you the monthly statements and yearly statements automatically, so you don't have to worry about asking me. It will download everything for you. So please use that if you could. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any special announcements or anything that I missed? Anybody want to add anything? Everything okay? Thank you all for joining here and also online to worship. Let us worship God together. Today we have the celebration Sunday, so we'll have a celebration of birthdays and anniversaries and any blessings for the month. So we'll have a special prayer for that after the greeting time. Let us celebrate that also today. If you can turn with me to the opening hymn, hymn number 777, How Great Thou Art. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hymn number 77, if you are able, please stand.
Throughout the universe display, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is sun and sparing, sank into dark, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bear. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, take me home, like Joshua to my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us together to come before you as your people, to worship you here and also online. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Even when we don't deserve them, you give us everything that we need. We thank you for the gift of life, the health and strength in our bodies, and every day that you give us to live in this world is a blessing, Lord, and thank you for that. We thank you for this particular season that you have given us, Lord, to gather together and also celebrate the joy of Advent and the coming of the Messiah in this world. Help us, Lord, to remember the great things that you have done in our lives through sending your Son. The love that you have shown to us, Lord. Thank you again for your presence in our midst. Help us, Lord, through this church to do your work in this community, to be caring, to spread your love to others, Lord. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Bless us today as we worship together. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, Lord. Help us, Lord, today to honor your name, to lift up your name and glorify your name in all the things that we do, in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word, and all the talks that we make here today, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. We'll do a celebration prayer now to acknowledge the celebrations of the month. If anybody have any birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, new babies, whatever you want to celebrate for the month, we'll call out and give thanks to God at this time.
Marcus's daughter Sarah, her birthday is November 10th. She had a birthday.
Norman, you need to speak up.
I don't have nothing.
You have a birthday, don't you?
That was back in October. I thought it was in November.
No, we did that in October.
Okay.
You can have one more.
Well, see,
I have a birthday next month, and that will make me officially as old as Norman.
Oh. Okay. And one birthday. Anyone else? Anything? Let's turn to the hymnal prayer 481. We pray the prayer together. the prayer of Saint Francis. Let us pray that prayer together. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in his dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you this morning for this time that you have given us to come and worship together, Lord. And also we thank you for this time of celebration. We thank you for all of those who have celebrated many things in their lives, including birthdays, anniversaries, and many, many other blessings. We thank you for the gift of one more year in their life, Lord. Cover them with your love and comfort them with your presence every day. Guide them with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that they can lead a faithful life for you in this world, to be a loving, caring, and compassionate life in this world. We thank you again for the manifold blessings you shower upon us, Lord. In all these things, Lord, help us, Lord, to glorify your name in receiving your blessing, so that we can lift up your name around or in our, wherever we live, Lord. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do our responsive reading now, which is Psalm 65, verses 1 through 13. It's on page 789. Please stand if you are able.
Praise is due to you, O God in Zion.
Unto you shall all be performed.
To you who hear prayer, all flesh shall come because of their sins.
When our transgressions prevail over us, you forgive them.
Blessed are those whom you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple.
By dread deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation.
Who is the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas, who by your strength establish the mountains, being girded with might.
Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at earth's farthest bounds are afraid at your signs.
You make the morning and the evening resound with joy.
You visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it.
The river of God is full of water, you provide its grain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty, the tracks of your chariot drip with fatness.
The pastures of the wilderness drip, the hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks, the valleys deck themselves with grain, they shout and sing together for joy.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our prayer time now, where we come and share our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we have in our lives. And also we lift up our prayers of burdens and concerns together as a church family to the throne of grace of God, that God will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. Turn with me to the back of the bulletin for some of the special items that we have listed there. Continue to pray for these people and these items. Pray for the family of Jim Otticelli, that we have been praying for my second son's father-in-law. He passed away yesterday. Please pray for the family. They are in Chicago for peace and also guidance during this time as they are planning for the funeral arrangements this week. My son and family are there with him, and he was there at the time of his passing. Continue to pray for Guillermo. He's also in hospice care. We were able to visit him this week, and also Wayne and family visited him yesterday. Please keep him in our prayers for peace during this time. He's in and out, so he's not really conscious. And pray for Liliana. She's taking care of him, for grace for her during this difficult time. Continue to pray for Jan and Harry. Harry is doing okay, I'm hoping. They are online with us. Let's keep them in our prayers and also pray that God will give them the guidance for the next steps that they are planning in the stage of their life. Pray for Lou. She is recovering. She's feeling much better after the shots that she received on her back. She wants our prayers to keep that treatment going so it will be effective. Last time it took only 6 months to get back to the pain, so she's expecting more time after this time. So let us keep her in our prayers that it will not get complicated again, that God will give her the patience and the strength in her body to go through this time. And continue to pray for Skip and Jerry Hayes. Now they are also in various situations of their recovery. Pray that God will heal them and touch them with His healing hand. Continue to pray for peace in the Middle East. As you all know, things are happening there, that it will be a good week for the hostages to be released. Let us pray that God will bring all of them out and bring peace to that area, and also peace to those families that are grieving. And let's pray for the world leaders who are making decisions, that they will make decisions fearing God and bring peace to this world. And also continue to pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, that, and also all those grocery clerks, delivery people, many, many others, particularly during this holiday season. People are working hard. Pray that God will keep them safe and will have a safe holiday season coming. And pray for the nation, our country, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will also fear God and make decisions that is good for the people. Continue to pray for the church leaders, all church leaders, our bishops and leaders of the church and our church, as we look forward to the disaffiliation and the next steps that we have to take, that God will give us the guidance to be firm in our doctrine and in our faith, and also to be faithful in the opportunities that God has given us to do in this community. God has placed us here with a purpose, and let us rise to the occasion and use this time to do the work of the kingdom of God here in coming. Those are the prayer requests that I have to announce. Are there any other call outs or prayer requests, special items to add?
I would put David and Laura still on there for the loss of Laura's sister.
Yeah. Or David?
Yeah, Laura is the wife of my brother David.
Oh, yeah.
So David is helping up with Laura.
Please pray for their family during this time of grief also. If there are no call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with a closing prayer. Let us pray. Thank you. The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us everything? Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promise that you are listening to every murmur in our hearts, in our mouths. We thank you for always being there, loving us and caring for us, Lord. We come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, especially during this time of the year as we look back. A year has passed us, Lord. It is not because of our merits. It is only because of your grace that we are alive today. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of family and friends. Thank you for the gift of this church and fellowship. Above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, and suffered and died a death, and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life with you. Thank you again for everything that you give us, Lord. We come before you with our burdens and concerns as well. As broken people, we are broken in many different ways, in our souls, in our bodies, in our spirits. Help us, Lord, to come before you because you are the healer, the great physician who can make us whole. When we are lonely, you are our friend. And when we are broken, you can mend us and make us whole. Help us, Lord, to come before you with our broken lives so that you can mend us, Lord. We lift up those who need your protection and guidance and healing at this time. Particularly, we pray for Jim Otticelli's family at this time. We pray for your peace during this grief of his departure. We pray for your grace upon them and your comforting presence to comfort that family and the divine guidance for the next step of the funeral arrangements. We pray for Guillermo. We pray for your grace upon him during these last hours of his life. We pray for your grace and peace on him and Liliana. We pray for Harry and Jan. Bless them with your grace and peace also. Guide them in the future with your guidance as they plan for their next steps in their lives. We pray for Lou as she is recovering from his back pain. We pray for your grace upon her that this will be a lasting healing, that she will not have pain anymore. Touch him with your healing hand, Lord, as we unite in faith and pray. We pray for Skip, Lisa's dad, and Jenny Hayes, Lou's sister, that they are also in various situations in the recovery of their sicknesses. We pray for your grace upon them. Touch them with your healing hand, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives and in their families' lives. We pray for this world as we hear a lot of things that are about problems all around the world. Lord, you are the only one who can bring it lasting peace. We especially pray for Israel and Palestine that you will bring a lasting peace there, Lord. We pray for the hostages and the families. We pray that you will release all of them without any complications or problems, Lord. We pray for all of those who have families who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Thousands of them are grieving, Lord. We pray for your peace upon them. Bring peace in that area, Lord, and peace in this world. We pray for all the leaders who are working toward them, that they will forget all the animosity and get together and have the love of God in their hearts and fear God and make decisions and bring peace to this world. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and many others, especially during this holiday season, Lord. Bless them with your guidance that they will do the right thing that will be good for our people. We pray for the church leaders, bishops and many others of all the churches. And we pray for our church here also that we can be faithful in doing your work of your kingdom in this community. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks, mailmen and delivery people and trash workers and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes. We thank you for their services. And also we pray for their safety and their family's safety. Bless them, Lord. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. In all the things that we do here today, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In the meditation of the word that we make here today, Lord, bring power in our lives so that we can live from this place as your powerful witnesses to live our lives in the days to come. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to bring a portion of what you have given us back to the work of your kingdom. You are the source of all that we have and we are. You are merciful and gracious every day to give us everything that we need in our lives, the good health and strength in our bodies, the joy and the fellowship. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully today, Lord. And we pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated and have a special now.
Lisa is going to provide our special today. to do a lot more of that. She has a lot of songs that she has written through the years. Right, Lisa?
Yes, okay.
We'll do the scripture reading now, which is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Please stand for the Gospel reading.
I'm going to do it for Ivy this time because it's a little long. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you have a child and or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invites both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humility, you will have to take the last important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us to experience in our lives, to be life and spirit. Help us, Lord, to be humble before your word, that you may speak to us and we may listen. Open our hearts and minds and illumine our souls so that we can see the message, meaning behind the message. Receive your word with power so that we can be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Bless each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is another lunch or dinner that Jesus attended in a Pharisee's house. I have been talking about many suppers and dinners that Jesus attended. As you notice that Jesus' life is a celebratory life. Always. He was among the joyful. Even though he cared for the poor and the grieving and the suffering, He was always encouraging people to be joyful. So he attended weddings, and you know the wedding in Cana. He had meals together with many people. Bethany, the family at Bethany of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he used to have supper there all the time. And then he had the great supper that we celebrate together. He had that last supper that he celebrated with his disciples and asked us to continue doing that. And we continue to do that, don't we? As a church family, we love to get together and eat. And food has become a great part of our fellowship of our church and tradition. So there are so many things that in this dinner that Jesus is teaching them, because he was invited by a Pharisee. Usually, he talked about the Pharisees not very positively. He was very negative about the life of Pharisees and the practices that they were doing at that time. So people did not expect him to be in a Pharisee's house. And also Pharisees did not like him. So I don't know why he was invited to begin with. It may have been a test for Jesus. Probably they were trying to test him out because it was a Sabbath day that we read there. And they wanted to know what Jesus was going to do. But like I said in the last Sunday that we talked about a dinner, where when Jesus is invited for a dinner, in your house, in your family, in your life, remember, he's not going to be coming alone. He'll be coming with a lot of other things with him. Like it or not, take it, Jesus with that. So here again we see that there were people who are sick that came to see Jesus. That is part of what Jesus' ministry is. So if you want to have Jesus in your life, be also ready to take all of those things that have come with Jesus. To be caring and compassionate and showing the love to others that are there looking for Jesus. In this place also, we see a person who was there. And he was a problem in his body. We see that he has an abnormal swelling in his body. Some people say, in some versions say it's an edema, like the swelling of his belly, whatever disease that was. I don't know if he was invited there or he was placed there for to be a test for Jesus as to what Jesus would do. I think he was placed there and brought there for a purpose to test Jesus by the Pharisee. So, because we read that after healing him, he said, and he sent him away, that we read them there. So he was probably not supposed to be there, and Jesus sent him away after his healing of his sickness. So I think he was placed there by the Pharisees to test him out. And he was probably not one of the invited guests, but he was actually there for a purpose that they wanted to accomplish during this time with Jesus. How many times have you had text messages that come to your phones unsolicited? I get that a lot, lately particularly. And we get annoyed by that. We all get unsolicited emails, unsolicited text messages, electronic messages in various different ways. A lot of times, you know, those are random annoying messages talking about winning a prize or offering you an invitation for a dinner or something like that, which you all know that is not true. And the more scarier ones are the ones that you get those text messages saying that you have a UPS package waiting or Amazon package waiting for you at the locker and you pay money to that. You all know that you immediately delete those text messages. You get that a lot, particularly during this holiday season, and be careful with that. But the modern technology, along with all of these annoyances that we get, can bring unintended blessings. And I was reading some of the stories lately about Jim and Lori were in the hospital for the delivery of their first baby. And as the baby was born, Jim's brother who was there texted his uncle that Lori gave birth to a boy. And the message went to a wrong number. And the person who got the message said, "Oh yeah, what hospital and what room number? And then he sent him the hospital and the room number. Then two strangers showed up with a bouquet of flowers to that baby. And that was a great blessing. The family had a wrong text that ended up in a lifelong friendship for that family and a blessing. How about that? These are real stuff that happened. And another woman that texted for Thanksgiving invitation for her grandson who was away in school. And she texted her to join her for dinner. It's in Arizona. Her name is, it is in the paper last week, because it was the 8th year they are celebrating that together. So in 2016, Wanda texted her grandson to join her for Thanksgiving dinner, not knowing that her grandson had changed her number, his number. So the text went to somebody else, and it was another teenager who was in a high school student. And he got that message, and he looked at it, and he knew that it was the wrong number. So he texted back and said, "Hey, looks like you got the wrong number, but I would still like to come. Do you want me to?" And she said, "Of course, that's what grandmas do." And he introduced himself, and he's a 17-year-old boy. And he joined her. And it was an African-American boy, and this was a white woman. They were like awestruck when they saw each other. And that started a tradition in that family that he's invited for every Thanksgiving now. He gets a text message, and he will show up. And this is the 8th year, and his picture and her pictures were on the newspaper. I believe it was Washington Post or some newspaper, National Press, last week, as they're celebrating their 8th year of uninvited dinner celebration. So these are all blessings that come through uninvited annoyances in our lives. The kindness of this inviting a stranger to a dinner reminds me of Jesus' encouragement in this chapter that we read here today. Jesus encourages us to invite people into our lives, to dinners, to celebrations, to share together our lives together. We are not supposed to be islands anymore. And we know that we are getting islands more and more as we grow in our society. But that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is about community, getting together and celebrating the joy of life and the gift of God's blessing in this world. So during this party, Jesus was telling them and teaching them in this Pharisee's house to how to extend hospitality to people who we think don't deserve it. How many times would we invite people that we don't know of in our houses? Very rarely. That is not our norm. That is against our customs. We only invite people whom we know, whom we are friends with, whom we have family members. So when we think about those things, Jesus is teaching them to extend hospitality to people who don't deserve it, who don't have the resources to repay you. And he's teaching them a lesson that invite the poor and the needy and the ones who are not able to invite you back, because the reward that you are going to get out of those is going to be greater than the reward that you are going to get from inviting known people. That's what he's trying to teach them. So he... sharing a meal together not only brings people together, but it also brings peace. For some reason, sharing a table, even with the most argumentative people, you will see that it can bring reconciliation when you share a table together. Share a table or a dinner together, not a beer together. Because I don't know, a few years ago, one of our presidents got elected right after he sworn in. There was a big riot in some part of the city, and he called both parties to the White House and asked to have a beer together. And I don't think it went well. So don't share the beer together. To share a dinner together is different. So it is very countercultural to invite somebody that is a stranger. But Jesus challenges us to rise above the cultural norms. Hospitality, according to Christ, is not about self-interest or social standing, but is an expression of genuine love and compassion. That is what Jesus was trying to teach during this time, this occasion that he was invited to this Pharisee's house. And as soon as he started talking, He also noticed that the sick man was sitting in front of him. So what comes first? The dinner comes first or the healing comes first? Jesus nourishes our souls and our bodies together. He gives equal importance to both, not one over the other. He gives more, very important in our spirit as well as our body, because the spirit lives in our body. So Jesus said, Jesus knew that this person needs healing, and he wanted to heal him. But there is a problem right away, because he is in a Pharisee's house. The Jewish leaders are there. People are watching him. And we read that right in the first verse that we read, that he was being carefully watched. Jesus was invited to this prominent Pharisee's house. He was being carefully watched. So they were watching what he was going to do. But Jesus always takes care of the needs of the people before he talks to preach to them. Remember the crowd that was hungry? He fed them before he started preaching to them, and because then he knew they were tired. So he wanted to heal this person and make him whole, and then go and start the dinner party. But he knew that these people were watching him, and so he asked them a question about healing in the Sabbath. He asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Well, by the word of the law that they were taught through the Moses law, that they were taught in the commandments, that particularly in Exodus we read in chapter 20 about the Ten Commandments and how to keep the Sabbath. And they were taught about a lot of things about Sabbath, how to keep it. That Orthodox Jews would not do anything. They would not even visit a family. They would not cook anything. There are particularly like 39 or 40 items they have listed in their Shimna, which is the law, that they are not allowed to do. So Sabbath is a very solemn day for them. They do not do any work. So they wanted to know if Jesus is going to heal him, and if he's going to heal him, how he's going to heal him. Is he going to touch him? Or is he going to massage him, or whatever he was going to do? These are all prohibited during a Sabbath period. But these Pharisees knew the teaching of Jesus, because Jesus already taught in the community, and they knew that Sabbath was made for man and man was not made for Sabbath. And they all heard that, and they probably all remembered that. So they kept quiet. They did not answer him. So he took it for that they did not know. So let us think about what Jesus was trying to do here. He said, if one of you have a son or an ox that falls into a well on a Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? A son or an ox? What is a son to do with an ox? Because he's talking about two dear things in our lives. Our family, our children, they're very, very dear to us. Then our occupation or our car or whatever the donkey represents, whatever the business side of our life. So you can say like a child and our car. If you see that one of your son or an ox falls into a ditch, would you immediately pull him or that out? But they knew that they have to pull him out if a child is in danger. But here's the problem. When it comes to the children or properties of other people, the story becomes different, isn't it? How many times have you seen a broken down car on the side and you look at them, and if it is your wife or your spouse or your brother, you will stop. If it's a stranger, you just go on our own way. They will find their way out. That when it becomes a stranger, it becomes a kind of indifference for us. We are trained and we are brought up like that, to only look for the self-interest in our lives. Jesus wants his people to love God and one's neighbor with the kind of love that God has for his people on this earth. To love others as our own brothers and sisters. The mandate to love others is based on the way that God made man, that is, in the image of God. If we can see the image of God in our brothers and sisters, we will love everyone same way. Just we love our children, love our ox, love our work, love our families. God loves everyone. The same is true with loving every person around the world. God loves Americans, God loves Israelites, loves Palestinians and Indians and Africans and Asians, regardless of where you are from. God loves everybody. And He loves them equally, without any partialities. This is the kind of love God has for mankind. And God wants us to practice that, and Jesus is teaching them to look for not just myself. I, my, me, mine, the selfie generation that we have now, everything is about me and mine. God wants us to go beyond that, to get out of our comfort zones and to be caring and compassionate to other people. And also, He also said that when you invite people for dinner to come into your lives, into your families, invite the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Because He's teaching them in those days, and even today, we have this idea of give and take. You know, I give you so that you can give me something back. Or even more, lately with our capitalistic society, we say, take and take. Whatever I can take, you take. But Jesus is teaching us the opposite. To, as Christians and the disciples of Christ, you are to train yourself to give and give as much as you can give. Not to expect anything in return. That is what Christian love is all about. That is what Christ teaches about the care and compassion, to give more and more. The more we receive from God, the more we are to ask to give away. So, in the passage, Jesus saw that the people who were gathered in the house of the Pharisee, they were all becoming very selfish. And we also read the story, I didn't want to preach on that, they were trying to get the important seats first. Jesus said, no, this is not what you do. You want to take the last seat so that you will not be humiliated by somebody telling you, hey, move to the back. So He was telling all those things that they were practicing, the opposite of what they were practicing. In inviting the lonely and the low in society as opposed to the high in society, we are actually honoring God and God's people, because God always cares for the marginalized and the lonely and the low in society. Then Jesus actually healed that person and He sent him away. So then who are these poor and the lame and the crippled? The answer is obvious, that the ones who cannot pay you back, they don't have the means to return anything to you. That is what Jesus is talking about, the crippled and the lame and the sick, the marginalized ones in the society. So this is what we are to practice as people of God, to go out and reach out to the ones who are in our sight not deserving our invitation, to invite them into our lives, in our spiritual life, in our family lives, so that we can be together as one people of God. We are to reach out to others not because of what we might receive, but because of God's love flowing through us. May we heed the words of Jesus in this parable, to invite the poor, the lame, and the blind to the banquet of our lives. In doing so, we not only bless others, but experience the abundant blessings of promised blessing that God has given us to enjoy in this world. Hospitality involves more than words. It requires action. For all of those who have invited a stranger, I don't know if you have done that, to join the family for Thanksgiving dinner. We have done that years ago. I think it was in 1994. We were attending a church in North Cross. And we were all, during the Thanksgiving week, we were having a celebration. And we were all talking about what we are going to do for the Thanksgiving and what we are meeting and meeting the families and inviting our dear ones. We noticed one person in our church who was not very happy and excited. And during that time, that Sunday, after the service, and everybody was, you know, trying to get together for the Thanksgiving week, I asked him, you know, what's going on with you? You don't seem to be excited as many others are. And he said that he was very sad and said that Thanksgiving and Christmas are one of the sad times of my life. Because I came here from Hong Kong, in China, part of China, by myself. And I don't have anybody here. I came as a student. And I don't have anybody here. So when Thanksgiving comes, everybody celebrates with their families. I don't have anybody to go. So I go to the gym, then I go home and sleep. That's what I said. Then I said, well, do you want to come with us, home with us for dinner for Thanksgiving? He was very happy. And he came. And the day he came, he called, the day before he Thanksgiving, he called and said, hey, I have a friend also who is in the same situation. Can I bring him? Of course, bring him in. That started our Thanksgiving luncheon or dinner. That we used to have dinner at that time. In 1995, we started that, with that in mind. So every Thanksgiving, we look for people around our community, in our church, and look for people who are by themselves and don't have a place to go. And you probably remember JC, who comes here once in a while to celebrate. That's how she joined us. She was by herself, no family here. And we have been celebrating that for the last 28 years, except for the 2 years of COVID. And we had one this Thanksgiving Thursday also. And at times we used to have up to 60 people in our home celebrating this. What a joy it is to invite strangers in our families, to celebrate that together with them, people who don't have a family, who don't have anybody to turn to. And we receive that blessing every Thanksgiving when we do that. Jesus doesn't merely instruct us to invite the less fortunate. He attaches a promise to it. He says that when you do random hospitality, you will be blessed abundantly, more abundantly than the ones that you invite expecting something in return, because you know that you are going to get something in return. But these people don't have anything in return to give to you. Just your presence, your invitation, make their life a big difference in their lives. So true hospitality involves not just words, but also it requires action. Let us continue practicing the random hospitality that Jesus is recommending and suggesting through this passage, to invite people in our lives, not only our dear ones, but also the strangers, that we can all be together as one family of God together. May the love of God rule our hearts, and may the good Lord bless us with these words today as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 569. We have a story to tell to the nation. If you are able, please stand. Hymn number 569.
We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. A story of peace and light, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to thy nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent. His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
People of God, the way of love is the way of humble service that Jesus teaches us. To get out of our comfort zones and to include others in our lives as part of the family of God. May the good Lord give us the grace to consider others during this time of the holiday season coming up. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever.